Ask Iraqis what they want from their new government, and after security, many say jobs. Separate studies by the Iraqi government and the U.S.-led administration suggest that about a quarter of the workforce is unemployed. Yet that is better than some had feared, and Americans are predicting a shortage of construction labor when billions of dollars in U.S. aid finally hit the Iraqi streets. NPR's Emily Harris reports.
On the grounds of Iraq's former Ministry of Information complex, a young man carts a wheelbarrow full of bricks into what will be the new home of Iraq's main television channel. This complex was bombed and looted. In one of the buildings, project organizer Sean O'Sullivan looks through a hole in the floor that goes six stories down.
Where did the bomb explode?
O'Sullivan's nonprofit, Jumpstart, employs about 2,800 Iraqis in Baghdad and Fallujah. The group has spent just over $3 million, mainly cleaning out or tearing down buildings ruined from the war. O'Sullivan came to Iraq because he thought the U.S. was doing it all wrong.
They were spending $4 billion a month on military suppression, essentially, and nothing on job creation. And you could employ for $1 billion a month all of the Iraqis in Iraq. So why are you letting the issue of unemployment, therefore driving dissatisfaction, driving insurgency, driving unrest, when it would be so much cheaper economically to spend more money on employing people?
Actually, over the past year, U.S. funds and Iraqi oil money have paid government salaries and for thousands of projects that have provided at least temporary employment for an unknown number of people. But the largest chunk of reconstruction money, $18 billion from U.S. taxpayers, hasn't really had an impact yet. Retired Admiral David Nash manages that fund. He had hoped to create 50,000 jobs by the end of this month, but is far short of that goal. That's why after April's surge in fighting in Najaf and Fallujah, the U.S.-led administration here used millions in Iraqi oil money for smaller projects to start faster. Admiral Nash.
The idea was that our big projects take a little time to get going because they're so large. And yes, they will provide a lot of employment and they'll do a lot of things over a long period of time. But it was important to show progress right now and mostly to get people employed.
With just over $2 billion spent, Nash says both the big and small construction projects have provided about 14,000 jobs so far. Not enough, says Iraq's Deputy Planning Minister, Faak Ali Abdul Rasool.
Comparing that with the unemployment prevailing into the country, it's almost null.
A planning ministry survey done late last year in all but the Kurdish areas of Iraq found 28% unemployment and 22% of workers overqualified for whatever job they have. The government remains the largest single employer, although the private sector is growing. Iraq's labor ministry brags it has a vast database of 400,000 people looking for work, but it's not easy to use. Information on job seekers has to be typed in twice into separate databases that have yet to be merged. Another challenge, the Labor Ministry Job Center doesn't have working telephones. To communicate with job seekers or employers, the staff finds public phones or sends motorcycle couriers. Haik Yenok, the job center director, says that because of now-ended UN sanctions, many Iraqis don't have what companies are looking for. Experience.
The experience is problems. Past 15 or 13 years, we didn't have that experience. People just graduate and they don't have jobs in their specialized, and so they'd work any other jobs, temporary jobs. So they have graduated 10 years, they don't have any experience.
For those with jobs, there is plenty to buy now that Iraq's been flooded with consumer goods after the war. Computer programmer Rosul Mohammed is 3 days on her first ever job. She's already planning how to spend her salary, worth $250 a month.
I want to buy a mobile. I want to buy a car for me. I want to get married. Many things.
But she's not sure she'll stay with this job long enough to get all that. At work, she's frustrated with the start and stop electricity. She hates spending 2 hours a day in a cab commuting. That's the safest way, she says, to manage Baghdad's crowded and dangerous streets. But that small choice for security costs a third of her salary. Emily Harris, NPR News, Baghdad.